My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Jason and John, 99 FM.
ESPN. Everybody take it easy. Because it's hot outside. If you, right, if you're getting too intense outside, and whether that's mowing your yard, sometimes it's just even walking in the morning, you're going to sweat. And sweat sometimes can lead to frustration and rage and emotionally charged decisions. I've known that. Have you?
No.
You ever gotten hot and made a bad decision?
I've gotten hot and gotten mad.
That's kind of what I mean.
Yeah, like I've gotten like, but a lot of times it's like playing, it's in the course of like playing basketball or something. Like when I, back in the day when I used to play outside, you know.
That's kind of what I'm talking. And then did you boil over?
Yeah, I actually assaulted someone multiple times.
And that is what we're trying to avoid.
I think I have a warrant.
So I think that word was meant for you. That word that I just had.
Okay, you're giving me a word.
Was clearly meant for you. It just came down. I think it was clearly meant for you because, you know, the word is always going to hit
you. Well, I don't accept it. I don't receive it.
Why would you do that? You're rebuking it?
You give to Brad. I don't want it right now.
Wow.
This is work, okay? I have certain sections of my time sliced off for life coaching and or you know, the word.
It was just a little bit of a word, and you don't want to hear it.
I want Brad to hear it.
Maybe you weren't the target after all. Or maybe you just have ears that just don't want to hear it.
It's a good question. Maybe we'll figure it out.
We won't challenge that. What we do know is the USA men's basketball team has reached the knockout stage, and this is where I expect John to really shine.
Thank you very much.
Because now that we are through pool play, we are here, and it matters more. Certainly, we are looking forward to that start. Now, that's going to happen, my understanding, John, is after our show.
Yes.
There will be U.S. women's soccer, which we're not as interested in, but still a huge match for them. They can advance to the gold medal match. That's happening here during our show. We will have men's basketball, though, which has been John's focus.
Yes.
And we've got the expert right here with us. There are things happening in training camp of the NFL everywhere.
Yeah.
Did you see? It looks like Brandon Ayuk is indeed up on the trading block.
Yes.
Framework deals in place, perhaps, for the San Francisco 49ers receiver. Some are still thinking, nah, nothing's going to happen here, but it does seem like we're a little bit further along this story than I think some of us thought we would get. And so we'll see what happens with Brandon Ayuk. Dawn Staley saw Tom Brady. She looked him in the eye, and she saw beauty. Pitbull's going to have his own stadium. And as we mentioned, going all the way back around, Kevin Durant's only 4 points away from, you know, the American record.
Yeah, and he's going to be the gold medalist record holder if he indeed gets
it. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he would pass Carmelo Anthony as most all-time. He's tied with him right now.
No, that is a title that Carmelo still holds dear.
It is. It clearly
is. He's going to miss it.
We, however, do not hold that very dear now, do we?
Well, he played for a long time on those teams.
But, you know, LeBron has as well. LeBron must have opted out a year because he only has two golds.
Speaking of him, did you see him when he's met Tom before, but he turned his wife around to Tom? Everybody, when they see Tom, It's been, as I mentioned, Dawn Staley saw Tom, and it was like an awakening.
Yeah.
And it kind of happened for Savannah as well. Did you see that video of LeBron? It's like you're married to greatness. You really are greatness.
Right.
You know, that family. But then when they saw Tom, there was just this acknowledgement, this sort of reverence, even from greatness to even more greatness,
mm-hmm.
that you just don't see every day.
That's true.
Tom is over there making waves in Paris. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen.
Yeah, he is.
It's going to be time to get to work here soon and get on these games.
He's enjoying his last few months of freedom.
Yeah, time to get to studying.
Yeah, I think that part will probably be easy for him.
Probably.
The studying part.
Well, he has to get in the meetings and stuff with the coaches. Like, he's going to have to spend that time if he wants to know anything.
No, look, it's going to be his time. I think the big adjustment for him is just going to be reacting live to things.
Yeah, it can't all just be insight, though, right? I mean, if you're going to be good at this, you have to at least...
Personality.
Yeah. And I know he's going to know the base of what most of these guys are running, because at some point he's either gone against
them
or had them on his squad. But I think you got to put a little study into it. I think that's what we've learned about Tony Romo. You know, you start out great, insight's great, you guess and plays, okay, that's one thing. But if you're not, you know, if you're not studied up like Greg Olsen, you start to lack something, at least the best do. He probably won't.
Yeah.
You know, he is the great one.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see. So, we'll see if he puts in the work.
Anyway, big show today on the Jason and John Show. Jessica Benson going to join us at 11:25 from Grind City Media.
Always excited.
We'll talk to her about the Olympics, of course, as those continue to go on. And then at 1:25, Paul Feinbaum, who got a brand new contract from ESPN, will join us, and we'll talk to him about the college football season ahead. Oh, I see a schedule. That is new.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that, Brad.
Yeah, Brad hooking it up.
I don't think I knew.
Didn't Ryan Silverfield send you a Christmas card or something?
No.
Okay, he didn't send you a Christmas card. I thought you got like some mail.
It was fake signed by Brad last year.
Oh, it was Silverfield.
I think we found out.
It was a facsimile.
Man, one of y'all bozos.
He signed a Ryan Silverfield signed a schedule for you or something.
Yeah, it was like right after a win.
Right.
We had been critical here. Some of us have been critical of.
Yes.
But that was fake, we found out.
Well, there we go. That's how we know it's that time of year.
I'm very excited about the slogan.
Time to pounce.
I think I'd seen it, but I'd not considered it and let it sort of sunk in. It is time to pounce. But pounce, it's not very, I don't know.
What would you
threatening.
Say? Threatening. Well, what Tigers do. They pounce.
Yeah.
What do they do? Time to attack? I mean, I guess you could say that.
I mean, let's be real. Tigger pounces. You know what I'm saying? I know you pounce on prey, but it's just not a strong word.
We're going to go to the beat.
What do we got? Time to pounce. We'll weigh it as the show goes on.
We're going to go to the review. We're going
to
determine.
To pounce. It is what I understand. That's what they do right as they sort of duck down.
Right.
Before they hit their prey and jump out on it. But pounce, I just feel like it's.
All right, so imagine this.
I don't know.
So imagine we're two officials.
We're going to pounce on Tulane.
We're two referees at the Olympics.
Going to pounce on UTSA.
And we've gone behind the scores table. And we're now both looking at the play that just happened, right?
Yes.
And at the heart of the matter is whether or not pounce is a threatening enough word for opponents.
I mean, even strike is more threatening.
The Tigers don't really strike.
I know, but can we brainstorm anything else, or is pounce the best word? I just feel like there's more out there. My point is that pounce is just not. You don't sound formidable.
Would you like time to attack better?
Yes.
Time to attack.
Much better. Much better.
I think
because time to kill.
But boy, you can't use kill.
I understand that, but yeah. We want to go more along those lines. Was that a movie? That was a movie.
Yeah, it was.
I think Samuel was in that.
But Pouncer Matthew is the mascot's name. So that's the right. But you don't see Pouncer as intimidating.
At all. He plays with children.
Well, yeah.
No, he's a good guy. I've got the pictures with him and Chris. I love Pouncer. But when you think of him, right, do you think of attack?
No, I don't.
Do you think of, again, closing down on the neck?
No.
Of the deer, or in this case, whatever it chases.
Okay, I did not.
What's a UTSA? A roadrunner.
I didn't think of, like, you know, deer as the main
prey. We're attacking.
Okay, for the tiger. But yeah, maybe in some parts of the world.
Might be more of a lion's prey.
Yeah.
Tiger prey is what?
I think like
anaconda, anything that's in the jungle.
I mean, it's an apex predator, right?
Dang right. And I just, again, time to pounce. You know, I know what it represents, okay. And I appreciate that. I like time to attack better.
Okay, so.
but they were thinking tiger.
We're gonna come to the agreement here.
Did Dr. Scott come up with that?
And we're gonna say that this is not.
No, it was already. I'm sure this was already on the schedule.
This is not intimidating.
And I love that athletic department. You know, we graduated from there.
Yeah.
Just want to know what else we had in the. In the chamber,
yeah.
What other options were out there?
Yeah. Okay, so after review, not intimidating.
Time to pound.
Not intimidating. So, anyway, well, it is what it is. It's on the poster. We'll ask Paul Feinbaum if it's time to pound. Is this a pounce song? Is this what this
when
is?
When I looked up a pounce on YouTube, this is copyright-free music, and it's called Pounce.
It was like
so
a rave.
I thought it was perfect. It's got a little growls in it. It's called Pounce, and it says copyright-free, so I launched it.
Well, thank God. Thank God.
No, oh, it's key. Not very good.
We don't. Well, I'm just saying we don't want anybody coming after us. You know, on that copyright. That's no. Our. You know, but if they do, it's Jason's fault. There's no doubt about it, and it can come out of his check.
I didn't ask for the rave music.
But at any rate, we I kind of liked it because it kind of reminded me like if we were in a timeout, right? We were in a timeout, yeah. And the officials were at the screen here.
Players review.
But also,
Join the Revolution was brought up to me.
Yeah.
As possibly.
Oh, I forgot.
As
about
possibly better than this.
No. Yeah.
And y'all made so much fun of Join the Revolution.
We did.
Damn.
But it wasn't really much of a revolution.
But that was the issue, is that nothing followed.
Memphis football
was... It wasn't like Noah Lyles and you talk your talk and then walk it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Memphis football didn't have a revolution.
Was starving, so the revolution part of that made sense.
Do you want a revolution? Yeah, yeah.
But we just were left starving. We were still hungry after all of it, and the revolution failed. The revolution failed until Fuente came along.
Yeah.
Fuente ended the famine.
I will forever maintain that Porter laid the foundation for you with his recruiting. He was not a good head coach.
Also, upon further review, the DJ has been fired. The DJ of the show has been fired. So we'll have some changes coming for y'all very soon. We'll ask Paul Feinbaum if he believes it's time to pounce for the Memphis football Tigers. Like,
gonna get you.
Jiminy Christmas.
Here we come.
Yeah. Like, we're just gonna announce it like Iran.
I do love the schedule setup, though. And who is that we've got here? Is that just any old tiger? Is that. Well, it's just a drawing. It's not Seth.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Right? There's no number on that tiger.
I can't see it from here, sir.
On our schedule poster that we're looking at.
I can't see it from here, sir.
Love the uniform.
But again, that means it's time. That means we're getting close to the season starting.
This month, fool.
We'll be excited. Home opener is what, August 31st?
Yes.
August 31st against Northern Illinois?
North Alabama, fool.
North Alabama, sorry. I can't see from here.
You should know that.
I'm legally blind. Anyway, yeah, we'll ask Paul Feinbaum about all that.
Excellent.
At 1:25. So that is the show today. We didn't do it yesterday, so we saved it for today. That's what the pros do. Let's do a little thing we call cap or no cap.
Cap. It means lion, but built different. Now it's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
Or no cap.
I'm going to say that that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John show.
People are texting. They said they just turned into the show. They asked, what are they listening to? The answer is, continue to listen, and maybe you will find out. And the same, I think, applies for us, right? We never really know what we're doing on a daily basis at any point until about, what?
Are you referring to the music?
I think the whole thing.
Or our review.
Yeah, the whole thing, the whole King Caboodle, yeah. I think people were just, you tune in a little late, you have no idea what's going on.
Well, it's time to pounce.
It's time to pounce,
get
man.
Get with it.
And it's time to pounce on cap or no cap.
Okay.
The University of Memphis football team is missing out on big-time revenue streams by not doing what Florida International just did with Pitbull, cap or no cap.
Well, why don't you give them the nuts and bolts before we weigh in? Folks may not know this news was breaking this morning, I think, for Pete Thamel.
Yeah, yeah. So we had Pitbull playing just a minute ago. And
that's who that was.
No, that wasn't Pitbull, bro. That was, he said it
no,
was.
No, I would have thought that not now.
He said it was copyright free, bro. He played that.
That'd been brilliant.
That would have been brilliant.
But he did. You said copyright.
Yeah, but it was copyright free. But I don't want to get you too excited.
Basically,
FIU is renaming their stadium after Pitbull. Pitbull Stadium is what it's going to be called. He bought the rights for the football stadium's name.
$1.2 million, I believe, is what I read.
Yeah, $1.2 million a year for 5 years.
Is it a good deal?
It seems cheap.
For him.
It seems cheap. Yeah. I mean, it seems like why not? You know, I mean, it's Pitbull Stadium. Like, it's yours. You know, it's
kind of.
It's a flex. It's a flex.
It's not like you can get it three nights out of the week or
well,
something.
He's not
when
gonna,
you say your stadium.
It's a flex. It's not like he's going to get a return of investment. It's just like he has $1.2 million a year to give, and he's going to use it to flex. That's what he's going to do. Now, I think Memphis's naming rights were a little bit more expensive than FIU, with good reason.
Simmons Bank you're referring to.
Yeah, I believe the Simmons Bank is paying quite a bit more.
Okay.
But you brought up to me, first of all, this is a holistic deal. Like, there's going to be an anthem for FIU from Pitbull. He's going to post about the school on social media 12 times a year. He's going to appear at One Athletics fundraising event per year throughout the term of the agreement. So there's a lot more than just his, you know, putting his name on there, right? He gets the use of the stadium for 10 days a year. And the vodka company he owns will be the preferred brand distributed in the stadium. He also is going to get two reserve suites for all home football
Ooh-wee.
Games. So he's getting quite a bit out of it, and he is committing to quite a bit of it. But you and I said, hey, man, we got a lot of music history in Memphis. Why can't we have a Pitbull stadium?
Well, and we may need it more than you think. I'm looking at a story from 2022 that says that Simmons Bank deal pays 6.8 over 10. Okay.
Okay. So $6.8 million over 10 years.
Over 10 years.
So we're getting less.
Yes.
How the hell?
So, like I just told you, we need it more. You understand what I'm saying? Because you thought we're getting, you know.
I thought we were getting more.
I could tell from the way you read out the story. We're getting it feels that we're getting less at 6.8 for 10 on
okay,
Simmons. So I'm just saying the need is there.
Okay.
And now you, as you said, you have ownership or certainly control.
Right.
And so you need more reason to create your own revenue streams. So I wanted you aware that the need is a little bit greater than you think, because Simmons Bank ain't just shelling over $10 million a year here for the naming rights.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, well, we need to get back to the negotiating table, okay, because that's FIU. They seat 20,000, all right, and they're irrelevant. So we need to get, I don't know who negotiated this deal, but it was a very bad deal. It was a very bad deal. Simmons Bank getting an amazing deal.
They really are. They're getting a good deal.
Memphis, not. I think we all need to come back to the table, and we need to have a, you know, I mean, I think you reserve the right to do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Pitbull would be paying us $12 million if we had him on for 10 years.
And we have to name it Pitbull.
And we're getting 6.8
mm-hmm.
for 10. So let's create something new.
Like what would...
Let's create new streams. This is something that Laird Veach had talked about and something that obviously Ed Scott's going to be about. So this is actually, I would think, a help for the athletic department and certainly for a new athletic director.
All right, so what could we do? I mean,
literally name and we're going to ask him, and we're going to ask for a commitment from him at 125. You name it the Paul Feinbaum Party Plaza.
He did just get a new deal.
He just got a new deal. This is the time to ask.
Paul Feinbaum Party Plaza.
Memphis.
I like it.
He's seen the new stadium. He's seen the stadium renovations. Remember, he came through, and so he understands. Well, certainly he saw the plans, and so he understands now as a Memphian, too, with the change that's happening over there. I just saw it again yesterday. They done blown the windows out of the press box. I mean, change is happening. And you go over here, you're going to have the Party Plaza. I think Paul's name on it. You know, at a small fee, a small commitment, we're not going to charge him Pitbull money because Simmons Bank's already got the name. And so, guys, we've got to find other areas of Simmons Bank Stadium to sell off for naming rights, and we can create that new revenue for the athletic department. Do you see what we're doing here and sort of what we've created?
Yes.
Opportunity. And Pitbull has shown us the way, has shown Memphis the way. Think outside the box. You can go individuals. You can go local rappers. You know, you can do a lot here. You know, John had a great one earlier this morning. We've actually been brainstorming a little bit.
Yeah, I suggested the Glow Zone.
And we know it's beautiful.
For Glorilla.
And we know she's generous.
Oh, for sure. She'd be all over it.
And you get the Glow Zone. Look at Brad. You see the light bulb go off over there?
Yeah.
Now, has he been brought back, or is he still fired off the musical?
No, that was just the DJ. That
okay,
was just
the DJ was fired.
Producer's okay. Still here.
Producer Brad is here.
The DJ, that was an executive decision not made by me.
Just, again, think of all of the possibilities. You can name all parts of what about outside the stadium?
Yeah. I mean, we got Paul Feinbaum Party Plaza, Glow Zone. You know, what do we have out there? What's out there?
The whole setup out there with the
name new, Tiger Lane.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Tiger Lane.
You can sell the naming rights.
You can
to Tiger
literally
Lane.
Sell the name to of Tiger Lane. If FIU can sell the name to call it Pitbull Stadium, why can't we call it something Tiger Lane? You will do that. I mean, we can't hit up Penny Hardaway. He's got his name on the Athletic Hall of Fame, and right now he needs to coach his basketball
team.
Ask him for any more money. Local Memphians who have got it like that in terms of that kind of money. You know, is it too much to
Kathy Bates, Tiger Lane? Something like that.
Ask some of these Grizzlies.
Yeah, you could. Desmond Bane, Tiger Lane.
Mm-hmm. He wouldn't do it.
The Bane Lane.
I guess technically it's good. You really need a school tie.
Right.
Because
right,
Pitbull's what tied to Florida. I'm not assuming he was a student at FIU, although yeah. Maybe he was. I'm not, but there's a Florida connection there.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna, you know, to go up to Bane and ask him to throw us, you know, the money for naming rights rather than what TCU or, you know, his school, that seems we're gonna have a tougher time on that sell.
That's true.
But we gotta sell Memphis.
What about D Rose? Can we get something from D?
Ooh.
I mean, he's here.
Rose Lane.
I mean, yeah, something like that.
Tiger Rose Lane.
Yeah.
Y'all, this is big. And with a new athletic director, I think there's an opportunity here that we can really, you know, sort of bring in the kinds of ideas that they can sort of be thinking about. You want to do, Pitbull again has shown us the way. FIU has shown us the way. You don't just stop at Simmons Bank, and particularly when you're only getting 6.8 over 10, and that was the commercial appeal, by the way, did the work and pulled the contract on that. Shout out to Jason Munns back in 2022. And so we need more, and we've got more to sell with this renovated stadium. I can't wait. The possibilities are endless. I really think we can do some good here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially now. Ownership matters.
Yes.
And so this revenue will go back to Memphis as opposed to the city.
Exactly.
Do you see the opportunity here?
Yes.
All right.
We're gonna have to
sold three areas, it feels like, to Rose, Feinbaum, and Glorilla.
We're gonna have to see how our meeting with Paul goes at 125. If we can get some momentum there.
Don't make it the first question.
No,
you
it's
never
not
do
be,
that when
no,
you when you're trying to fundraise.
Really, it's really your question to ask. It's
when you're trying to fundraise, you don't make it the first one. You kinda have to soften them up, you know. But again, he has seen the vision.
Right.
Why wouldn't he want to be bought in, especially on the heels of the Pitbull news?
Right. And listen, as much as we love and are excited about Memphis, they're not the story of college football. We have a lot of other things to get to with Paul.
Oh, you've got to ask him about expectations for Tennessee and Ole Miss.
Yeah, Florida State. You know, I mean, there's a lot of schools that we need to touch on.
We won't make
we'll
it
work our way to Memphis.
We won't make it our only purpose in talking to Paul. I don't want to embarrass you. I know you didn't bring him on here for that.
I mean,
but I will be asking for a commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it a tithe?
A tithe.
Tithe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More of an offering in this case.
Right.
Tithe's supposed to be 10%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we could
in some places.
You could always pay more.
It varies.
You could always pay more on tithe.
Just an offering.
Yeah. So he'll join us at 125. Looking forward to that. When we come back, Jessica Benson on the other side. Talk to her about the Olympics and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Canadians down 13 in the second quarter. Now, I watched a game earlier today in which the Australians were up 24 on the Serbians in the second quarter. No matter, as the Serbians come all the way back in the 29-point swing to win the game by 5. It's been a hell of a day in FIBA basketball. Lots of swings, lots of comebacks, so we'll keep you apprised. Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with TJ Hurd, Bryant City Media, joins us every Tuesday. And she joins us now. We did try to get this segment sponsored by Pitbull, and now we know why he didn't commit.
Tough. It's unfortunate that he would take his talents to FIU instead of, you know, working with us here every Tuesday.
Is Pitbull the Nickelback of hip-hop?
Oh, what a question. What a question. Yes, maybe, but I enjoy... But, okay, here's the thing. I would say yes, because I enjoy Nickelback more than I would ever admit to. I think Nickelback has gotten a forever bad rap of being bad when actually they're pretty good. And the same goes for Pitbull. So yes, I think that's an excellent, excellent comparison.
I just kind of came up with that, you know, on the fly. So
it was good. It was good.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, they got way more money than Simmons Bank got. Liberty Stadium in Memphis got for the naming rights. Do we have to go back to the table now?
I don't know. I mean, this just feels like the possibilities are endless. If you can connect with a local artist, you know, you get so much more juice out of the squeeze. Like so many performances, a theme song. I just want a University of Memphis theme song. Is that asking too much? Other than Go Tigers Go, like an updated Go Tigers Go. You know,
We already came up with Paul Feinbaum Party Plaza, and we're going to present that to him at 1:25. I was just thinking. The Tony Pollard concession stand.
Okay, I like that. Are we using his family's barbecue, though? Because then we get into the barbecue.
I think that's a good thing.
Now,
again, and that is why you're great. I think that's a good thing. They bring that to the table, and you sell some of that there, and you help the family as well.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, because I was a little... I saw that in this early construction phase, I believe one of the things that got taken down was Coletta's Pizza. And I don't know if you guys remember, but my friends and I went to a Memphis football game last year. I went as a fan, and we got an entire Coletta's Pizza. And it was one of my favorite things about going to that game was I just walked around with a whole pizza pie. And I hope that we're able to get those once more. So if we could include pizza in whatever we're doing with the concessions, too, I don't want that to get lost in the feeding of people going to see the University of Memphis football team.
So obviously the schedule's out, and we have the poster, and it's time to pounce. That's what Jason has a problem.
Let's go. It's time to pounce.
With the pounce.
Time to pounce.
Is pounce aggressive enough for you?
It's not a rally cry. Pounce.
I don't think it's a rally cry.
No, it's not.
I was trying to think of any time. I think of pounce did you say Tigger?
It's Tigger.
Yeah. Like, he's bouncy trash.
Exactly.
I don't even think they say that. He's bouncy, pouncy, fun. I think of that. I think where I grew up in Colorado, like, in the different levels of cheerleading, like, one of them was the pounce level. So I associate with, it was like the young kids, like, they were trying to pounce into the next level. So I have that word association. Pounce doesn't strike.
No, kitties pounce.
Yeah, It's adorable. It's like, ooh, that's so cute. They're pouncing.
Yeah, but what could you have said? What would you have? Well, I mean, it sticks with the mascot.
Attack.
Roar. Attack. Yeah.
Roars and all the
time to roar. Okay, I mean, yeah.
Time to claw.
But what? Time to claw.
And that was just on the fly. She just threw those at you. They were all better.
Do tigers roar though? I think that is more of a lion.
We've probably used it 18 times, and it would have been better here to use it a 19th.
Time to
roar.
Time to growl.
No.
Tigers growl.
No. This might as well be time to purr.
I was going to say, or do we go with purr? It's time to purr.
It's just not intimidating.
So, I mean, obviously we've talked about Memphis football, but there is there's more pressure on this team than there has ever been on a preseason Memphis football team. So it's different, right? Like most years historically, if we take the history, you're supposed to be okay with 9 or 10 wins at Memphis. You're supposed to actually be really happy with 9 or 10 wins at Memphis because it doesn't happen. But if it ends up being 9, people will be disappointed, won't they?
Yes, they will. And that's, you know, the blessing and the curse of everything aligning for this upcoming season with the return of Seth Hennigan, with the weapons around Seth Hennigan, with the placement of Memphis in the AAC, and yes, the schedule that looks like a more manageable schedule, perhaps, than the AAC of more recent memory, and based on what the AAC is now in the grand scheme of conference realignment. And it feels as if everything is set up for this Memphis team to prowl, to pounce, to roar, to claw, to whatever, and potentially be that Group of Five representative in the first expanded college football playoff. And that is, you know, a cool thing to imagine, but it also sets this burden of an expectation that, you know, nothing's fair in sports, nothing's fair in what we decide, you know, is worthy of deeming a season a success, but that's exactly what is coming up with this season. So it's almost like every single game will be nerve-inducing because the margin of error is so small.
I thought it was a good sign, and I wonder if you agree. I know some will look at it and say, well, I would have preferred Memphis to be ranked. It is coach's poll, certainly you would say doesn't matter as much as the AP, and doesn't matter, as much as once we're 3 to 4 to 5 weeks into the season. But the fact that they've got the Group of Five teams mostly there together, and you right there on top of that. It, Dinich the other day, I think, predicted UTSA because she saw them, the computer spit out that they're going to be the American winner and they're going to be in. My point being that no one out of the Group of Five is far enough, at least from a coach's standpoint, an SID standpoint, ahead of you that it feels like you're having to make up any ground to start. Whether you're, and I heard Phil Stukenborg say it yesterday, everybody's picking you, and I'm not sure I'm ready to go there because we've seen some others, whether it's Boise State or some others, or you're one of the contenders, it does feel like you're kind of starting from equal ground, and I feel like that's a good thing.
Yeah, you're starting from equal ground, and I think, nothing can be, or it can't be emphasized enough that you're starting on equal ground with a coach who has been here.
Right.
And Ryan Silverfield, both, as a head coach since taking over for Mike Norvell, but I believe this is his 9th year at Memphis. That's almost a decade. And just having somebody who understands, the ecosystem and has truly put the team together his way and built the identity and the culture, like, there's a lot of value there in a constantly changing landscape of college football. And so you're already in a good position, and then it feels as if you have the leadership and the pieces in place that can allow you to take that bump up throughout the season. I haven't had an opportunity to read it yet, but I even got an ESPN notification this morning of some Harry Lyles article on ESPN talking about, will Memphis be able to reach the college football playoff? And the fact that those articles are getting written and posted on ESPN is a testament to the reality. This is not just a Memphis conversation. This is a greater college football conversation.
Yeah, that's the part of it that definitely gives me a little concern.
The nerves?
Well, yeah, because, it ain't that easy.
Of course.
It ain't that obvious. Like, oh, yeah, Memphis is going to make the
that's where I say the burden of expectation plays in, too, right? Like, if you're already saying college football playoff as a Group of Five team going into the season, That's where there's no margin for error, because if you lose a game that you're expected to win, or even if you are playing at a level where, let's say, you're not winning the right way, you're not blowing teams out that you're supposed to beat, how are you having these conversations? So it creates a very, very difficult path ahead for this group.
Yeah, it's just like, to the point we've been making, it's a situation and a position that Memphis football has quite literally, in the history of its program, never been in. Ever. Not 1 year. Not 1 year were they picked to win their league. You know, it's just, it's a foreign feeling, and you just don't know how psychologically, you know, like we don't have anything to go off, right? Like, oh, we don't have this, in 2016, no, we don't. So I think that's the part of it that gives me concern is that, yes, I mean, Memphis is in a bucket. They're in a bucket with Boise. They're in a bucket with, Liberty. They're in a bucket with teams like that, and they deserve to be in a bucket like that. But I don't know. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not, you know, it's not something I'm super, because we don't, oh, yeah, Memphis, when they're picked, they always meet the mark, you know, like, it's a high-ass mark to meet. You know, and you're asking a program with very little, no history of doing it to do it. And so, could it happen? Yes. I just don't know if I'd bet on it. That's the part.
Yeah, you sound scared.
I'm just like, I wish we could kind of just let it happen.
It's a psychological sports thing in Memphis, period, though, too, right? Like, this isn't just unique to a football standpoint, at least in recent. I mean, I always am going to equate things to the Grizzlies, but think about when the Grizzlies started operating from a position of supposed to win and, you know, supposed to be dominant and a returning factor in the Western Conference, and then everything fell apart. And so, like, psychologically, you are attuned to think that the projection of good things is not always met with those good things actually happening. So you're putting up a little wall of protection, a boundary of sorts.
You know, and I'm only asking because I've seen it here a couple times, and whether it was LeBron's wife that turns to Tom Brady and looks like he kind of caught her up there for maybe a second in the tractor beam, because LeBron was right there, or Dawn Staley, and she tweeted about it saying that she looked into Tom's eyes and she saw straight beauty. I just wonder, could you, and really I think I should have no doubt, professional JB, that's got to interview Tom Brady. Hey, he's just rolling into Memphis. He's going to do a thing with the Touchdown Club. Could you be fine, right, just asking the question, which without getting caught up like it feels like almost all do?
Yes. I don't it doesn't do it for me with Tom Brady.
I'm glad to hear it.
I don't know why. I even thought.
He's starting to look older.
Do what you want, but like it feels as if there's maybe some filler or the way his face has grown in age. Something's just a little bit different, but he seems to mesmerize people. Even like the one of my favorite American princesses of the Olympics, Alana Maher, the rugby come out star of rugby sevens in the Olympics. She took a selfie, and I saw a video pop up on my TikTok page where she seemed mesmerized by Tom Brady. And I'm just like, what is this Brady spell that seems to exist? The only person immune has been Nikki Glaser, who did the roast of Tom Brady. She seemed like she was able to keep it together.
Yeah, I think it's surgical, right? That's got to be the idea.
He's done more since retirement.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's not like a... There's a certain beauty in just aging naturally, isn't there?
Yes.
Oh, there really is. I wish we saw more of it. I always get so excited when I see, and like, you can do little things here and there. And again, I always preface with, do what you want. Like, all of us are in charge of our own selves, and that's the beauty of it. But there is something amazing when you see someone who is just aged naturally enough where it triggers something in your brain. Like, oh, that's so nice that they've aged naturally in this way.
Can I ask you, since we're on the subject, and you're happily married, who does quote unquote do it for you?
Ooh.
Oh well, I just got really into that Swedish pole vaulter yesterday. I'm not gonna lie.
Duplantis?
LSU man.
Who's a turncoat?
Yeah.
Who's an absolute turncoat?
He's always been with them.
Why is he not playing for us?
His mom's from there.
I completely agree. His mom is Swedish, but his mom went to LSU, too. He's part of a whole LSU family. He was born in Lafayette, Louisiana, so he's an American, Cajun, Swede, and I am with you. Like, they're chanting USA around him, and he's competing for Sweden. It just feels...
It would be like my kids being Olympic athletes and competing for Serbia. I mean, it would be the same thing. Now, it does happen.
Or mine, I'm... I'm Swedish on my dad's side, I'm Irish and French on my mom's side. Like, pick any of those. That would be so bizarre.
Exactly.
Although maybe that's the only way that they could succeed is if,
didn't
like,
he lived over there? I thought I heard or read that he spent significant time there as well. That it wasn't just, it's not just that he went to LSU.
No, he has a deep connection.
Right.
All right. So
you guys are being a little tough on this young man.
Mondo Duplantis is.
I feel like
your summer fling.
Yeah, I think he's my official Olympic rush crush.
Okay.
That's what I'm calling him. Yeah.
Kind of young.
Hey, at least it wasn't the guy.
He's still a boy, Jessica.
He's
24.
He's 24.
He's a man. He's got 9 world records. He's broken a world record 9 times. That's like when you're it's like in dog years, in world record years, he's at least 42.
At least you didn't say the other pole vaulter who didn't win because of his
the French pole vaulter.
Yeah, that would have been funny.
He's been up there too. There's been some Italian swimmers who I've taken note of throughout the Olympics. You just look at these people and their bodies are incredible. Like in track
That's
and
right.
field too. Anything track and field, gymnastics. I really liked that Frederick, I can't think of his last name, the one who was great on the bars for the U.S. men's gymnastics team.
Yeah, the brother.
Team.
Yep, the brother.
Yeah, I thought he was, and he was so cute, and his parents were so cute. Between like finding someone to cry over every day and finding, you know, nice men athletes to appropriately thirst over along the way has been a fun little side part of the Olympics.
I appreciate your transparency. I really do, because,
sure,
you know, this
sure.
is... We're very
Frederick.
Yeah, I don't know how to put it, but
Thank you, Richard.
We try to hide from the fact that like we don't watch the Olympics, you know, to gaze. That's a part of the viewing experience, you know. I don't know why people
like all of us who aren't there are gazing in awe of these incredible like physical specimen. Like that is a part of being an Olympian, and I agree. You can also gaze without. You want to know the one thing?
No, you can. You it's possible. But when you know when you watch a beach volleyball match, you know what I'm saying?
I knew you were going to say beach volleyball.
I mean, it's the one. It's the one. I mean, it's the. How can you ignore it?
Because I don't know. Maybe my husband was just flattering me and just trying to be nice while we were watching beach volleyball. But he was like, "Yeah, you know." Obviously, like they're just—I'm just more impressed with how ripped they are, and I'm not focusing on the bottoms of the beach volleyball.
Oh, that's a classic move there. That's a classic.
It was, and as I'm saying it out loud,
I'm seeing right through that. Yeah. Oh, he appreciates their muscle dexterity.
Yeah, it's really well done.
Yeah, no, you're right though. That you can do
Chris
it.
Has been schooled.
Because like right. Katie Ledecky, when you're watching her swim for that amount of time. It's just outrageous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the long, especially the longer distance swims. That's, I was watching Bobby Fink on the men's side who saved it for the U.S. men. He was the only U.S. male swimmer who won an individual event, which would have been the first time since like 1900 that we hadn't had one. And just watching him do the longer swim, I'm like, I could only do like 2 laps. The way that bodies look as they swim is a fascinating thing because they're fish adjacent is what it ends up looking like.
And then what would your disappointment level be if for whatever reason the United States men's team basketball didn't win gold?
It will be an international crisis.
Disaster.
Yeah. Absolute disaster.
We'd be talking about it to open up our show, certainly, but there would be real rage there. We're really upset.
I think so.
And who would catch the majority of the blame then?
Steve Kerr.
He's ripe for it right now, I think. Yeah.
Right.
Like he would get fired. He would get fired.
Yeah. I mean, the discourse would just be... Maybe Noah Lyles would catch some strays there, too, as like... somehow putting a hex on the U.S. men's basketball team after he won the 100-meter and all the discourse around can they consider themselves world champions in the NBA and the stupidness of that entire argument. But no, I mean, even as the world has caught up, and I know, you know, Canada has 10 NBA players and Germany coming off of their World Cup win and they're a very formidable team.
All they do is win.
All they do is win. I don't know. The last time I looked, Canada was actually down to France.
Yeah, they're down 10 right now.
Okay, well, my expectation was that it was going to be Canada-Germany in the semifinal game, and then winner of that would assumedly play the U.S., but perhaps France sneaks into that semifinal game, too. Still, the USA will be the favorite, the favored to win that game. And that goes for the women's side, too. Like, they've won 58 straight Olympic games at this point. It will also be a massive surprise if the women don't walk away with a gold medal. So I think while I've been so enthralled with, and I really have dived all the way into the Olympics every day, it's become my entire personality, the basketball has just kind of like glided through haphazardly because it's gone as expected. There haven't been massive upsets.
Yep.
USA's done what it's supposed to do, and as it goes into the knockout round, that will continue to be the case. I don't think anything will necessarily stand out as this huge story unless they lose, and then that becomes one of the biggest stories.
No question about that. I will say for the basketball piece of it, the memory I guess I will have thus far to this point is South Sudan and just their and that's not necessarily like an Olympic moment. That's more of like an Olympic to qualify to, you know, to win a game, to compete against the United States, to do all these things. Like, you know, they got unfortunately assigned to the group of death. I mean, it is just, if they were in any other group, it's very possible they're still playing. But like, just how hard they competed. They don't have a deep bench. You know, they just qualify for the first time. Like, that's the Olympics. That's the crux of the Olympics. Like, how inspirational that is. You know, with the odds stacked against you, you don't medal, you don't win, but like, there's still a lot of glory in that, and that's the part of the Olympics that I personally will remember.
Oh yeah, I think South Sudan's basketball story and what Luol Deng has managed to do is one of those. Like, this is why we do the Olympics, and this is the spirit of the games gets thrown around a lot. And seeing South Sudan first in their exhibition game against the U.S. actually pushed the U.S. and you know, that kind of stamped them of, oh, I'm interested in this. And then they come out and beat Puerto Rico in their first game, and then could they compete with the U.S.? And they played so hard down the stretch. And when you look into the stories of so many of the players on that team, like what they have gone through to get to this point is so inspirational. And the Olympics is littered with inspirational stories because people work their whole lives to get to the Olympics. And, you know, every time NBC does one of their packages on one of the athletes, I'm like, okay, well, let's dial up to get incredibly emotional. But when it came to the South Sudan players, and I remember one of them, the story was that he was born in a refugee camp in Kenya, and he was considered lucky because his parents and his siblings had to leave Ethiopia and were arrested, and the UN stepped in and helped, and ultimately ends up in this refugee camp, and then they moved to Minnesota, and everything attached to that is just like, wow, the perspective of what one has gone through to get, you know, to this place in their sport is inspiring, and it will never get old. It's one of the things that makes this one of my favorite sporting periods of time that I wish we got it more than every 4 years, but since we only get the summer games every 4 years, it makes it stand out as that much more special.
Yeah. Jessica, great stuff as always. We appreciate
Thank
your
you
time.
Thank you so much,
and we will let you get back to the Olympics. Thank you.
Yeah.
She is Jessica Benson from Grind City Media, joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. Now, I know you, personally, you do not watch the Olympics with that kind of intent.
No, I don't.
You don't see.
I don't sit on there looking at butts like you do.
Right. That would just be, that's beneath you. You are a man of God, and you would never do that.
That Frederick Richard, though, dude, yeah. It makes you feel puny when dude takes off the jacket to put the tights on, and I mean, he's built like Schwarzenegger.
What sport is that?
Even the pommel horse dude is ripped. You know, it makes us old guys that are 40 feel even more over the hill. You know, when you see some of these bodies out there, but that's what I'm saying, man. I don't watch it for what you guys do.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I know what y'all are watching.
I know a lot of people were impressed with the guy from LSU that was, you know, performing for a foreign country. My wife was enamored with the penis clipper, the Italian.
He's the guy who lost because of his
his penis.
His undercarriage.
Yeah, his joint hit it, and that knocked the bar off.
Yeah, now, when I saw the, because Duplantis broke the world record. He broke his own world record.
Yeah, yeah. And he is kind of a traitor.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, Duplantis, he's in blue and yellow.
Guy that's, got second, too. He's an Ole Miss guy, wasn't he?
I just feel like if you're born.
He was. He's from Oxford. You're exactly right.
He's an Ole Miss dude.
Yeah, well
Oxford
done.
Guy.
I just feel like if you're born
Should
in Louisiana,
yeah, well done.
You go to LSU, like, you're an American, bro. Like,
yeah, I was trying to, my wife and I, that was the conversation last night, watching Duplantis.
But he competed for them last Olympics.
I know. I mean, I'm not saying
this is not a deal where he's switching back and forth.
Yeah, I was upset. No,
he made his choice
then if I
and he stuck with it. And that's why I don't have any.
You could choose to identify with whatever you want to choose.
Right,
you know,
it's your choice, bro.
But at least like with Joel Embiid and Lorenzo Brown for Spain, like those guys live there and work there.
Right,
right. Like they're naturalized citizens. Like he's just saying, oh, I want to play for or represent Sweden because maybe it's easier to make their Olympic team or qualify. I'm not sure.
Easier to make their team? No, he set the world record. He would make the team and get a gold medal for America if he'd done it here. This isn't a deal.
So why doesn't he identify as American?
I'm sure he's got a story and would tell you that. I mean, what you've got to do is respect his choice. I mean, I think that's the key.
I don't.
And his mom is from there, as we said. And this is not a deal where he's spent his entire upbringing in America.
Okay, so.
Like, he spent time there.
Oh, so let me ask you this.
And where was the outrage last Olympics when he was doing this
for
Sweden?
I wasn't aware.
And
it was COVID.
Oh, and so now it needs to change because you're aware.
Because
he needs to switch.
Because he's winning gold medals.
Because you're upset.
Those should be our medals.
This is the problem.
Yeah.
And you speak against this type of stuff, but then you participate in it.
Well, here's the thing.
It's ridiculous.
So, okay, let's play hypothetical.
Let the man pick what he, and he stuck with it. You got to respect it.
Okay, but let's play hypothetical. Let's say that in 2054, Dominic Martin is a big-time hooper, okay? But guess what? He wants to play for Italy. He wants to go try to get a gold medal for Italy. Now, what you going to say?
But his parents didn't like grow up in Italy and aren't, you know, that it's their
folks.
The
mom went to LSU, though.
It's their folks.
The mom went to LSU.
She went to school at LSU, though. But I'm sure if he spent time in Sweden or whatever, that she did as well. That's the point. But there's a direct connection to mom. My point is y'all's connection, young Dom's connection would be to what? His grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going down deeper. Again, it's his mom that's Swedish. Dad was American. They met at LSU. You mm-hmm. get that. But both he and mom, to my understanding, have lived there. I just don't. Yeah, your outrage is ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's fake.
Okay, so now it's all coming to light. The Olympic youth coach for Sweden offered Dad a job.
It's like the Lawsons.
Yeah, and John didn't have any problem with the Lawsons, and he shouldn't have any problem here.
That's though, what it was.
Well,
they paid him off. They bought
get
him.
Up out of here.
They bought him.
Well, they've had him for a couple of Olympics now. Again, we lost our chance. You recruited him, you got him.
Damn, good job.
Bro.
Really good job. They identified him early.
I'm surprised the Russians didn't offer him first.
Bro, if you look at his career, this guy has been stacking gold medals. I mean, you name the event.
Yes.
He did it in Tokyo.
He's literally a phenom.
Yeah.
No one's doing what he's doing.
He did it in Paris. He did it in Oregon for the World Championships. He did it in Budapest. He did it in Belgrade. He did it in Glasgow. Like he's getting gold medals everywhere, bro.
And he got his dad a job and mama too. Apparently,
now
like the Americans wouldn't have offered a job.
They probably would
if it was that serious.
Maybe I should have had Jake in the back jumping off the thing.
We clearly should have.
No, we're good, man. I mean, we got the guy again that finished second from Oxford. We're fine. We're not, but we don't need to pay for.
We love finishing second.
Yeah, we're gonna pay you for your dad to get a job, so America can have one more gold medal. Man, get up out of here.
Well, we're down in the medal count by one.
Who cares, bro?
It'd be tied right now.
It's not that serious.
Because you didn't do your job.
Dad, you didn't do your job.
You didn't do your job.
After.
Match the salary.
3 years, what? After he literally just performed for Sweden in the Olympics last.
We're going, wait. We lost him. We lost him when he was young because Sweden offered Dad a job and we did not match. So you didn't do your job. Where were you in the discussions?
For the wrong stuff.
We're down a medal in the gold. And that should be ours.
Well, last I looked, it was 21-21. So what did China get?
They got another. Smarty
Pants. Thank you.
I don't know which event.
Okay, I need to see it at first on my.
It's not
my,
pole vault. It's not
my,
pole vault.
On
we
my
know
medal
that.
Count.
But I'm just saying, you know, your whole, you want to wash your hands, there should be no controversy type. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, when has that been the case in America? We just sit here and want to play for second. You just want a silver. You're like, well, we got a silver, you know. I'm more like we could not have changed it in 2020. The hay was in the barn.
Mm-hmm.
But where did we go wrong with Duplantis? We went wrong. We misidentified. Didn't do our scouting job. We should have said he's a phenom. He's going to win so many gold medals. We got to get him in our camp.
I mean, again, half these you find out half these sprinters and everything else that are from I think the St. Lucia 100 meter runner is in school at Texas. Like she runs against Americans and, you know, is used to American culture. And again, I'm assuming she has spent time in St. Lucia. And I don't know her whole story, but my point is there. All these athletes worldwide feel like they're coming to America. Marshawn, the Leon did not read. What is it, Arizona State? Isn't that where he swims for Phelps's coach? Like, they all come over here and end up in college here. What are we? We're saying that, you know, well, if you spend more time than that, you're ours. I mean, it's a half of them are all being trained. Half of the world is being trained here, right, in America, is my point.
Right.
And you've got a ton of athletes doing that and then picking their, you know, I'm not going to say home countries in this case, but yes, the country that they feel the strongest heritage tie to. He chooses them. Your outrage is...
I'm outraged.
It's unnecessary here.
But I learned more now. I learned why it happened. Right. It
was because they gave Dad a job.
And he's been in that system. He grew up in it.
Yeah.
Because Dad was working for him.
And bro, so, they got the video. This kid's been pole vaulting, basically calling himself Sweden pole vaulter since he was 3 or 4. He literally is doing it as a little kid, a toddler with a stick jumping onto the bed, dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's been raised for this and to represent Sweden for a while. And yeah. LSU knew that, I'm sure, when they were offering him a scholarship. Apparently, did you hear what he said? He said it sounded like being at a football game at Death Valley. The sound before he goes for the world record.
That was fun.
And that's the biggest difference between this and the last summer games, is you did not have crowds like this. He said he fed off of that energy, and it's what put him over the top of the world record.
Notice,
it's amazing to watch.
Jason, when he gave an example, he said Death Valley. He didn't say, you know, when I was doing my swimming lessons in the Swedish.
In Sweden. No,
in the Swedish.
Again,
depths.
He attended college here. You guys are holding that against these folks. It'd be half the people in the Olympics probably if y'all did that each person. Oh, can't do it. Just everybody calm down.
Yep. Well, there you have it. We'll have to do some. We got some work to do, boys. We got some work to do.
Yeah, you just schooled me on something.
Jessica referenced a story over at ESPN about Tiger football and its chance of making the college football playoff, written by Harry Lyles Jr. It looks to me like Chandler Martin had a better slogan for this year.
What was it?
Well, maybe we'll talk about it in the wrong.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, look at they.
We'll do that on the other side. Jason and John, Eddie Turner, FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.